On Southside Broadcasting, it's Jill Appleton in association with Macmillan College with the Young Person's Book of the Month.
New York Times best-selling author John Green is a young adult fiction writer who is known for books such as Looking for Alaska and Paper Towns. He is also a historian and has gained recognition as a YouTube vlogger. His YouTube channel, called Vlog Brothers, is which he stars with his brother Hank, features online educational videos. Their popularity has resulted in him gaining a place in the 100 Most Influential People list in Time magazine. A few years before his writing success, he was a student chaplain at a local hospital, working with families of children with cancer. This gave him the storyline for the book we are reviewing today, The Fault in Our Stars.
So what's your story?
I already told you my story. I was diagnosed when...
No, not your cancer story. Your story. Interests, hobbies, passions, weird fetishes, etc. Don't tell me you're one of those people who became their disease. I know so many people like that. It's disheartening. Like cancer is in the growth business, right? The taking people over business. But surely you haven't let succeed you prematurely.
It occurred to me that perhaps I had. I struggled with how to pitch myself to Augustus Waters, which enthusiasm to embrace, and in the silence I followed it, it occurred to me that I wasn't very interesting. I'm pretty unextraordinary.
I reject that out of hand. Think of something you like. The first thing that comes to mind.
Reading.
What do you read?
Everything from like hideous romance to pretentious fiction to poetry. Whatever.
Do you write poetry too?
No, I don't write.
There. Hazel Grace, you are the only teenager in America who prefers reading poetry to writing it. This tells me so much. You read a lot of capital G great books, don't you?
I guess.
What's your favourite?
My favourite book, by a wide margin, was An Imperial Affliction, but I didn't like to tell people about it. Sometimes you read a book and it fills you with this evangelical zeal, and you become convinced that the shattered world will never be put back together unless and until all living humans have read the book. And then there are books like An Imperial Affliction, which you can't tell people about. Books so special and rare, and yours, that advertising your affection feels like a betrayal. It wasn't even as if the book was so good or anything. It was just that the author, Peter Van Houten, seemed to understand me in weird and impossible ways. An Imperial Affliction was my book, in the way my body was my body, and my thoughts were my thoughts. Even so, I told Augustus, my favourite book is probably An Imperial Affliction.
Does it feature zombies?
No.
Stormtroopers?
I shook my head. It's not that kind of book.
I'm going to read this terrible book with the boring title that does not contain stormtroopers.
Augustus spun round to a stack of books beneath his bedside table. He grabbed a paperback.
All I ask in exchange is that you read this brilliant and haunting novelisation of my favourite video game.
He held up the book, which was called The Price of Dawn. I laughed and took it. Our hands kind of got muddled together in the book handoff, and then he was holding my hand.
Cold?
Not cold, so much as under-oxygenated.
I love it when you talk medical to me.
He stood up and pulled me up with him, and did not let go of my hand until we reached the stairs.
The Fault in Our Stars is brought to life by the main protagonist, Hazel Grace Lancaster. She is 16 years old and is suffering from thyroid cancer, which has spread to her lungs. Her overprotective mother encourages her to attend a weekly support group where she meets the charming and witty Augustus Waters. Hazel and Augustus embark on a rollercoaster ride of emotions, including love, sadness and romance, while also searching for the author of their favourite book, An Imperial Affliction, which takes them on a journey to Amsterdam.
Welcome to Amsterdam. Would you like to see a menu, or will you have the chef's choice?
I looked at Augustus, and he looked at me.
The chef's choice sounds lovely, but Hazel is a vegetarian.
I'd mentioned this to Augustus precisely once, on the first day we met.
This is not a problem, said the waiter. Awesome. And do we get more champagne? Of course. We have bottled the stars this evening, my young friends. Ah, the confetti, he said, and lightly brushed an elm tree seed from Hazel's bare shoulder. It hasn't been so bad in many years, but this year, the seeds are everywhere. It's very annoying.
The waiter disappeared. We watched the confetti fall from the sky, skip across the ground in the breeze and tumble into the canal.
Kind of hard to believe that anyone could find that annoying.
People always get used to beauty, though.
I haven't gotten used to you just yet.
I felt myself blushing.
Thank you for coming to Amsterdam.
Thank you for letting me hijack your wish.
Thank you for wearing that dress, which is like, whoa.
I shook my head, trying not to smile at him. I didn't want to be a grenade. But then, he knew what he was doing, didn't he? It was his choice too.
Hey, how's that poem end?
Huh?
The one you recited to me on the plane.
Oh, Prithrock. It ends, we have lingered in the chambers of the sea, by seagulls wreathed in seaweeds red and brown, till human voices wake us and we drown. Augustus pulled out a cigarette and tapped the filter against the table.
Stupid human voices always ruining everything.
The waiter arrived with two more glasses of champagne and what he called Belgian white asparagus with a lavender infusion.
I've never had champagne either, in case you were wondering or whatever. Also, I've never had white asparagus.
I was chewing my first bite. It's amazing.
If asparagus tasted like that all the time, I'd be a vegetarian too.
Some people in the lacquered wooden boat approached us on the canal below. One of them, a woman with curly blonde hair, maybe 30, drank from a beer and then raised her glass towards us and shouted something.
We don't speak Dutch.
One of the others shouted a translation.
The beautiful couple is beautiful.
This book is more than just a teen romance. I'm sure it could be enjoyed by a wide range of ages. However, it is probably more appealing to the female population than the male. The book includes plenty of witty humour, heartbreaking events, and takes an unflinching look at mortality. If you want to laugh, cry, and smile, this could be the book for you, but I suggest you have a box of tissues ready, just in case.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard! And sometimes, you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community, whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334 or visit our website at parkvillecarecentre.com. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Now the borough don't do love letters. But if they did...
Dear you, you know I love you. And I know you love me. I also know I'm impossible to live with sometimes. I know I let you down. I know I send you home feeling sad sometimes, but I just want you to know that if I didn't have you, I would be nothing. I'd never do anything to hurt you, and I try my best to make you happy every week. Please come back. You know we need each other. Now more than ever. All my love.
Blockhead. The fastest and most effective way to get a boost wherever and whenever you need it. Whether you're racing to beat a deadline, cross any finishing line, or just looking for an edge, Blockhead is the convenient and reliable option for everyone. Blockhead was developed by Danny Lowe, a 21-year-old sports scientist and multidiscipline athlete, who came up with the idea while in his second year at university. He began developing Blockhead in order to make energy easy for everyone. So performance boosts and cognition enhancement is only a chew away. Blockhead Energy Gum.
Offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or visit our website, rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and St. Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Well, we have a special guest, actually, for Young Person's Book of the Month today, because not from Macmillan College, but actually doing a Duke of Edinburgh placement with us at Southside Broadcasting, we have Laura McCann. Laura would have been actually in the studio, but her school doesn't finish. That's Conyers. Until when, Laura?
3:40.
It's time. But you have read John Green's The Fault in Our Stars. So share with us, what are your thoughts on the novel?
Well, when you first say to people, it's a book about cancer, obviously everyone thinks that it's just a depressing book and it's about people dying. And it does have some depression, and it is a bit depressing because obviously it is about people dying, but that's not what actually defines the book. It's a love story, and that just adds some extra poignancy into it, I suppose.
Have you seen the movie?
I have, yeah.
So how does it compare? How do the two different texts form? Is it a faithful adaptation? Does it work on that basis?
I think it does work, because the book didn't make me cry, but the film did. So I think when you add the music in, that definitely does make it a lot more emotive.
So in terms of the actual text itself, as you're reading through the book, a wonderful quote from Marcus Zusak, author of The Book Thief, you laugh, you cry, and then you come back for more. Was it one of those texts which, as you were working through it, you kind of felt moved by the characters? Did you identify with either of them in any particular role? What were the sort of areas that you'd say, yeah, I really enjoyed that?
Well, to be honest, I think I enjoyed it all equally. I think I do identify with Hazel a little bit. She's a reader, she's a teenager, but obviously it's different when you've got cancer. It's a different world you're living in because, you haven't got much time, so...
Do you think it kind of helped people to talk about the problem? Because, I mean, there was a time a few years ago, probably before you were born, where the C word was you just didn't talk about it at all. Do you feel it kind of opens up dialogue between, obviously, people who suffer from leukemia, cancer, in all sorts of ways?
Yeah, I think I do. And obviously, it's a good way to raise awareness, as it's a teenage bestseller. Maybe it'll inspire people to pay more attention to cancer and donate.
I'm not sure quite whether the Young Person's Book of the Month will necessarily go for marks that time, but we do in the Companion Book of the Month, so I'm going to ask you, Laura McCann, what score out of 10 would you go for John Green's The Fault in Our Stars?
I think it's between a 9 and a 10. It is a great book.
Between a 9 and a 10. Who knows whether the Macmillan people will actually agree with respect to that. I don't know. Savannah, Eden, Rhiannon Williams, Mitchell Wilson, and Amira Falah. Yes, Amira, of course, and Mitchell were the readers today. Mitchell, we come to you first. Just move that microphone slightly to yourself so we don't hear you, so you're in the same room and so on. You've seen the film, you hadn't read the book, so...
I've seen the film, yeah, I haven't read the book now.
Okay, so how did it grab... I mean, was it a case of, oh, Lord, it's some sort of chick flick about people dying, why can't we go and see something like Power Rangers?
I mean, when you first, hear about the film, you just straight away, I assumed that I wasn't going to enjoy it, but you do really appreciate it if you do actually go see it. Mm. But I do feel that I should read the book to understand, how people see it, in a text form than just on the screen.
I've got to be honest, I haven't seen the movie. I read the book kind of with initial mixed views. I thought, why? But I've been a producer, I'd like to sort of work through that. And I did think that it was handled very well. Marcus Zusak, who we quoted in the title there, is the author of The Book Thief, which I thought was outstanding. But it's also interesting the way in which, although it is a sad and challenging narrative, ultimately we had, I think, a sense of hope. I mean, the notion of...
everybody has infinities. You know, some infinities are bigger than other infinities. And whether it's from 0 to 1 or 1 through 2, 1.1, and so on, there are a lot of other interesting lines that come across with it within that. Savannah, your sort of sense of the text, I mean, how did you find me? Obviously, you were one of the reviewers on the whole thing. Did it move you? Did you think no? Or in the words of Jenny Finch from the sister programme Book of the Month, typical, another depressing young adult novel. Isn't it surprise? Is no surprise there are so many young adults with health problems, mental health issues these days. It's a partial quote from Jenny, but anyway.
I don't think it was such a depressing book. It was definitely more of a love story. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a book that I would originally approach myself, but I read it through a book club, and I find it really interesting to read. You get to see into the life of this young girl who's going through such a hard time, but I don't really like typical endings in books, and I like the way... Well, I'm not saying I like the fact that...
Spoiler alert here, possibly. One of them dies.
But I feel that we all have a need to have a good ending. So the fact that this book didn't really end in that perfect ending...
So you wouldn't... It wasn't a sort of neat package of the whole thing.
Okay.
Let's move on to your co-reviewer. That would be Rhiannon.
I did read the book, of my own volition. Lots of my friends had already read it and warned me not to read it at school. But I wouldn't say that it's a depressing book. I mean,
Do you ignore your friends' advice normally? Is that sort of...
I didn't read the sad bit at school. It's not so much a depressing book, I think. I mean, I did cry, especially... spoilers.
Was it crying from the point of view of empathy with the characters, the sort of loss of that? Did you identify? I mean, clearly, you know, you're a little bit younger than the main characters in the book, are kind of more college age in terms of the sort of sequence. They're in that sort of zone. Was it a case of the reaction that we saw from Hazel or from the perspective of Gus or Augustus? Was that the sort of line, or was it just a case of you thought it's just brought me to think at heart about the fact that everybody is going to die? Yes,
well,
good emphasis there as the bottle of water is put down, you know, quite firmly by Amira. Everybody is going to die. Bang.
Well, I don't so much cry at sad moments in books as other people's reactions to what happens. There's a line that Isaac says later in the book where
Isaac is somebody who's actually had his eyes removed because he had optic cancer, ocular cancer, and a lovely sequence which I thought, is this encouraging people to actually start throwing rotten eggs or eggs at cars? Surely not, but there is a reason, a rationale for that, because his girlfriend effectively, after saying always, effectively dumps him, basically. But anyway, back to Isaac.
They throw a pre-funeral for Augustus, and Hazel and Isaac eulogise him to his face so that he doesn't miss it. And Isaac has this fantastic line when he says, "But I will say this, when the scientists of the future show up at my house with robot eyes and they tell me to try them on, I will tell the scientists to screw off because I do not want to see a world without him."
Nice use of the word screw there. Anything else would have been very questionable in terms of what we can actually broadcast, but well done. Mitchell, would you like to write a eulogy for yourself, or would you like to? Did you identify with as the sole male in this? I mean, I get the feeling again; it is a fairly I don't think it really necessarily was just a sort of female-friendly book. I mean, your thoughts on the sort of characters that we saw portrayed?
I mean, the male characters are like very, very influential in the book and the film, which is what I've known, and it's just the impact that they have just throughout is just incredible. It's moving, really.
Amira, I never thought I'd actually see Hazel done with a Teesside accent, but you did, very capably, so that's great. I'm sort of always working through that basis. How did you feel that the characters developed and evolved? Again, have you read the book, or have you just seen the movie?
I've only just seen the movie.
Okay, right.
Well, I felt while watching it, it was just the gain of the friendship that got to me the most while watching it. I think that was a lot of the emotional impact that I had, because although obviously it is sad what's gone on in the actual film, I think I took it upon myself to imagine, well, imagine if it was me, or imagine if it was one of my friends, and I think that's the part where I actually did get more emotionally involved within the film.
So the writer very much sort of tapping into that place. This is going to be, I warn you, a slightly leading question, but yeah. Did anybody feel emotionally manipulated? Because, you know, one of the things about writing fiction and the way that obviously John Green does, etc., is sometimes you think pressing all the buttons guaranteed, you know, cry, cry, weep, weep, sorry, rip-roaring success. Did you feel emotionally manipulated, Savannah?
In a way. I think that a lot of people have known, or of people who have suffered with cancer, like I myself, my grandmother died of cancer. So I think trying to empathise with these characters, as I always do in any book, it did get to me more, I feel. The fact that I knew, in a way, how people around her were dying of cancer.
Okay. It's not really a criticism of Green, it's just obviously being a sort of writer on that. And Rhiannon, you feel emotionally manipulated? I think they've put that character in just to actually sort of tweak it a little bit more. You know, the angry Dutch writer and the fact that there was a real reason for his anger. You know, did you feel as though, just didn't sort of, it helped?
I just feel that it's a book that's very, it's a good representation of life, really, because there
or
are
death,
things.
Perhaps.
Or death.
The way we deal with life is maybe summed up by how we deal with death.
As Hazel puts it, everything is a side effect of dying.
Yeah.
Because there are angry people in the world, and they do have legitimate reasons, and people do die, and it is very sad. And I don't feel exactly emotionally manipulated. I think I'd feel robbed if you weren't affected by the deaths in this book.
Maybe they're not really gone as long as we remember them in terms of characters and so on. Okay, who chose it? Because again, there was a little bit of discussion in terms of, we're based at James Cook University Hospital Radio for Southside Broadcasting, at least part of us are, a lot of listeners are online obviously. Who actually sort of elected for this particular one and sort of said, we'll run with this? Who's going to take credit or volunteer? Is that you, Sel? It was somebody else. It is Jill Appleton's book of the month, so obviously I'm posting book of the month. So there you go. Fantastic. I was just interested, Savannah, what's your normal genre that you prefer to read?
Definitely more gothic fiction.
Gothic fiction, eh? Right. Okay. So really you would have liked, presumably, Johnny, it was Sleepy Hollow to have actually been there, presumably. And Rhiannon?
Anything fantasy, to be honest, although I do really enjoy...
Fantasy's good, very healthy. Yes. Excellent, and you enjoy this. And you could actually say there were elements of this which did tap into the fantastic, obviously, in terms of all literature and working through that. Okay, it's time for that moment. We found out earlier from Laura McCann what she gave it out of 10, marks out of 10. Let's go around the four of your good selves. Let's start... Well, actually, I don't know, is it fair? Because if you haven't read the novel, it's going to be... All right, give me a mark for the movie, Amira.
Say around a 9.
A 9 for yourself. And Mitchell?
I'll agree with Amira, 9.
A 9, so solid marks there for the movie, okay. And for the book, Rhiannon?
I'd give it an 8.
All right.
7.
Oh, quite low. Really. I think overall I'd give it an 8.5 to 9. I think it was well written, well structured, well put together. That's it, folks. Savannah Eden, Rhiannon Williams, Mitchell Wilson, and Amira Fala. That's all right. It's critical because, you know, let's face it, we need to work through these kind of things, because otherwise, how are we actually going to cope with the joys of Lacquered? But anyway, great stuff. Thanks for the contribution today. That has been you've been listening to Macmillan's Young Person's Book of the Month with special star guest Laura McCann, as produced by Jill Appleton. We'll see you all again, presumably, in the near future, all being well. Hurrah! On Southside Broadcasting, it's Jill Appleton in association with Macmillan College with the Young Person's Book of the Month.